Romans chapter 16. Amen. Talking about a woman named Phoebe. How would you like to name your daughter Phoebe? That's a good Bible name. Phoebe. Good Bible name. And Paul talks highly of this woman. Talks very highly of this woman. And she's a great woman. There's some great women in the Bible. The woman Shalom. She was a great woman. She was called a great woman. Now, if I was a woman, and I thank God I'm not, but if I was a woman, I'd want to be God's woman. I remember hearing Doc say that over and over again. He said, if I was a woman, thank God I'm not, but I would want to be God's woman if I was a woman. And if you're a woman in here, you ought to want to be God's woman. And I know the bride of Christ. I know we're the bride of Christ and all that, but I'll tell you what, Phoebe, she was a servant, and that's what she was. She was a real servant. And she was willing to serve God and serve God's men. And there were some great women in the Bible, like I said. But and they had you had some Marys in the Bible, the great Mary Magdalene. You had some other Marys. Bring it. I'm up. I'm fine. You had some great women in the Bible. But Romans chapter 16, it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And my wife is my wife, but she's also my sister in Christ. That's crazy, ain't it? But she's my sister in Christ. You're my sisters here. And I want to see my sisters live for God. I want to see my sisters do what's right. I want to see all my young sisters and live for God. He said, I commend on you my Phoebe, my our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Centria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she have need of you. Paul's writing to the church of Rome saying, you know, he said, I want you to assist this woman. She's a servant. And I tell you what, that's what we are when it comes down to where the rubber hits the road. That's all we are, servants. And we're supposed to be servants. But this woman was a servant, and Paul wrote about her. And she was a great woman, like I said. And it says, receive her in the Lord as become a saint. A lot of men have a hard time taking any orders from a woman. Amen. They have a hard time. But if a woman's wise, if a woman, you got a good wife and she can give you some instruction, you ought to listen to her. And don't be a fool. A lot of men are fools. They won't listen to their instruction. And my wife, you know, I hate it when she's right, when she's telling me I'm wrong. I hate it. I mean, sometimes you just, you know, my wife will say to me, I come in, I got an attitude about something, and she'll say, have you read your Bible? And I want to lie. I just want to lie. I want to lie. If I haven't read my Bible, I want to lie about it. I want to say, yeah, I read my Bible. I just want to lie about it. But, you know, a good woman is a good woman. And I got grandchildren. I got girls. I got seven girls, grandchildren, and eight boys, I think. Yeah, something like that. And then Josh and Kylie's getting ready to have a baby. And, no, maybe it's 7.5 and 7.5. That's what it is. I hope it ain't. I'm thinking about that. I hope not. But I want my granddaughters to be great women. Amen. I want my daughters to be great women. I want them to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Paul's talking about this woman and a man, like I said, a man got to be a fool not to listen to a woman that's got wisdom. You got to be a fool. And my wife, when she has, sometimes, you know, we've been together so long that sometimes when she'll say something and I say, you know, I've been thinking the same thing. Or I'll tell her something, she says, I was thinking the same thing. You've been together so long, you got the same. You think alike. You know why? Because you're supposed to be one. But what happens a lot of times when a man and a woman get married, they're so divided all the time, they don't think alike. And isn't it crazy that you find a good woman and she always ends up marrying a bad man? Got a good woman marries a bad man. And then you got a bad man that marries a good bad woman, or a good man marries a bad woman. And it goes one way or the other. I mean, and a lot of times the men will think, you know, I'm good and she's bad, but that might not be the case. You might think it in your own mind. Yeah. And a woman might think that she's good and he's bad in her own mind. You know, every man's right in his own eyes. Amen. And everybody thinks they're right and everybody else is wrong. But Phoebe was a woman that Paul commended, and she was a great woman. She wasn't a deaconess. There is no deaconess in the Bible. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that a woman shouldn't assert authority over the man. When it comes to the church and the home, God never God never intended the woman to run the home. Now, I'll tell you this, there's a lot of women that run the home because the man won't step up and do his job. Amen. And the last state of a church usually is the women stand by her. Say, so I'll prove it. Well, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, the last ones that was there was John, one man, and the rest of all the women. His mother, Mary Magdalene, all the rest of them, they were there. And guess who went out to the tomb to check on Jesus? Women. And so you get this attitude. I've been to Bible school with guys that they thought the women were their doormat. I went to Bible school with guys like that. Really, I think I knew one guy that had a missionary come by, and he came by here, and every time I turned around, his wife, you know, she was, I believe a woman ought to be submissive to their husband. Don't get me wrong. We're going to look at that. I think a woman ought to be submissive. But a lot of women, they're not submissive to their husband. And I used to, well, he's a jerk. He's an idiot. Well, you married him. That's the problem. You married the jerk. You married the idiot. And what does that say about you? Who's the idiot? But you say, well, I can do something about it. I get rid of it. No, you can change that by prayer. The Bible talks about a woman can win her husband by her life, her testimony, her light. You can win your husband, or vice versa. You can win your wife. But a lot of times people are not willing to go that far. They're not willing to fight for it. They're not willing to stand the ground. They're not willing to do that. They want to throw it away. We live in a day and age where we just want to throw everything away. That's why divorce is so high and everything's so high. We just want to throw everything away all the time. Just throw it away. Just get rid of it. I was going to Bible school, and I had a missionary come here. This missionary, he was off his rocker. Really, he was off his rocker. And this guy, we was at the house, my father's house, and this guy, he played a violin. He was going to go to, to Israel as a missionary, but the guy wasn't right. He was a Jew. He wasn't right in his head. And I'm not saying all Jews like that, but he just wasn't right in his head. And one night I said, let's pray. And he went like this, and his wife and kids are standing there, and I was getting ready to get down on my knees. My wife's getting ready to get on her knees. And this guy goes like that to his wife, and she was like a dog. She's like, and the kids, like, they bow, and I went, I started laughing. That kind of thing made me laugh. I thought it was funny. So I went to my wife, I went, and she went, and we both started laughing. He didn't think it was funny. He thought we were mocking him, which I was. I was mocking it. He was an idiot. And I went to school with guys that thought their wife was a doormat, and they thought, they're going to run. Come here, woman. Get over here. I do that with my wife around. You know, some people visit with, y'all know what I'm doing. You visit with me, I'll say that to my wife, and she'll look at me and go, psh. I'll just do stuff. I'll do stuff like that just to have fun. But I thank God for a good woman. Amen. Thank God for a good one. Can you imagine if you have a bad woman, you're trying to pastor a church? I know some pastors trying to pastor church got bad women. And boy, it's hell on wheels. It's hell on wheels. And, it's constant battle. And how can you say to the ladies of the church, go talk to my wife, she can give you some wise advice. Now, let me ask you something. Are you a good woman? Phoebe, he's Paul, the apostle, the prince of preachers. The example says, Phoebe, she's a good servant. She loves God. You know who another one was a servant? Was Mary Magdalene. And Mary and Martha. And Martha, you know what Jesus said to Martha? Martha said, Lord, don't you see that? Tell her, I'm doing all the serving. How come she ain't helping? And Lord, you know what the Lord said? Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much service. And he said, but Mary chosen that good part. And the good part, he's talking about sitting at his feet. Now, a good woman would sit at Jesus' feet and read her Bible and pray and love the things that God loves. And you say, I don't love them. Ask God to give you an appetite for them. Amen. Say, Lord, I want to be a good woman. I want to be a good man. I want to love the things that you love. I want to hate the things that you hate. But you know what our problem is? A lot of times we get hating things. We hate things in other people's lives, but we don't hate it in our own. I don't like people. I used to be this way, and I don't like people to get around people. They always point out everybody else's fault. They're always pointing their fingers. They're always going, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. That you know what that is? That's a bunch of Pharisees. That's a Pharisee doing that. Look at that, look at that, look at that. And but there's three fingers pointing back at you, telling you. And people always pointing their fingers at everybody. And like I said, when I first started pastoring, I didn't have a lot of wisdom. I get mad at people. I get flat out mad. Now I don't get mad. I just pray, God, get a hold of them. You know why? They're not my servants. They're not mine. They're His. And what you got to realize that, you know, they're God's servants. And that they're God's children. Phoebe was a servant. And I thank God for the women we got around this church, man. This church could not operate without these women. And I mean that. I'm not just shooting smoke, man. I'm saying thank God for the good women in this church and have a testimony. And, you know, I've had people come to me, can you write a testimony about somebody, give them a recommendation? Sometimes it's hard for me to do that. Give somebody a good recommendation. And, you know, somebody, are they faithful? Here's number one, are they faithful? Sometimes. He says, I commend on you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, a centurion, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. As becometh saints. Saints. You know, everybody thinks you become a saint and the Pope votes you in and the cardinals, all that, make you a saint. That ain't what the Bible says. If you're a saved person and you love the Lord, you're a saint now. At least I hope you are. I hope you don't have horns coming out of your head. But, there's some women in the Bible that... take your Bible, look in 1 Kings chapter 4. Look in 1 Kings 4. There's some great women. And Eve, even though she was deceived, I think God made her perfect. She was a great woman, but she was deceived. And there's some women throughout the Bible that's brought victory, women that brought victory to their kingdom because they were great women. The Bible talks about a bad woman, and we're going to look at that. The Bible talks about bad women. I hope you don't want to be a bad woman. I hope you want to be a good woman. I mean, before we got saved and we lived like hell, we lived like a bunch of animals and God made my wife a good woman. God made her a good woman. And my mother, my father hated my wife. They hated her. And we got married and man, God changed her heart, changed her life. And she was always loyal to me. She followed me to church. We tried to lose her. She had a little old gremlin. And she had this old gremlin. And I told John Garner, I said, I'm tired of fighting with this girl. I'm tired of her. I said, let's get dump her. I said, I'm going to dump her. And I said, lose her. She's following us. We're in the 69 Z28. And I said, lose her. So he's going around corners, sideways and everything. And she's just got this little green-looking, ugly-looking Dodge Dart, like 1963. And the thing went like, it sounded like, you know, Mary Poppins' car or something, or whatever, if Mary Poppins drove a car. No, she drew, yeah, did she? No, she just flew around. No, that was, I'm thinking about something else. But that car went like this, and I'll never forget, chitty chitty bang bang, that's where it was. And we were all over the place. I said, I don't want her to follow me to church. I don't want her to go to church where I'm going. I don't want her to fall. So, man, we took off, and we was flying down the road, going off that back road and everything, and all of a sudden, we're laughing. We're sitting there, we lost her, and all of a sudden, I hear this. She followed us to church, and it was a big old church, 1,500 people at the time. I sat over here, and she sat over there, and then ended up, see, God knew if I would have married anybody else, they wouldn't have put up with me. Really. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have put up with me. They would have hated my guts, and I mean, the way I was, and see, I had to grow too. I had things I had to change in my life. God had to work on me. My wife helped me learn how to read. She helped me all these things. Phew, get me weeping now. Amen. God gave me a good woman. Amen. I got a good woman. Even though, we've been through some tragedies together, and you know, that's what really makes a family. What made us strong? We've been through some tragedies. And we've had tragedies in our church, and we stuck together. We thank God for a good woman.
Amen.
And you got a good woman, man, you ought to thank God for. Amen. Thank God for. And God give you, man, and like I said, God gave me what I needed. Because if I would have married any other girl, they wouldn't understand me. We've been divorced. We've been in a mess. But she knew. She knew me. And see what God did? She ended up getting saved. I got saved in September. She got saved in October. And we were going to a church function after church. They called it Afterglow. I don't even, you know. And we went to church, and she was sitting in the front. I made her sit in the front seat. I said, sit in the front. She always listened to me. I said, sit in the front seat. She got in the front seat. I got in the back, and this guy named Vic Junker, he was a youth pastor. And I said, Vic's going to show you how to get saved. And she looked back at me. She said, is it all right? I said, yeah. She got saved. From then on, man, we decided we're going to live for God together. We're going to raise our kids for God. Here I am, just turned 62 today. My wife would be 62 in August. I couldn't remember her birthday for years. 30 years I didn't remember her birthday. Finally, I got it in my head. August 26th. And I finally, you know, and she'd always remember my birthday, and she, you know. And she got saved, and we decided, we get 19 years old, got married, and wanted to live for God. And went to Bible school. Whatever I said, the Lord called us to go to Bible school. Okay. Amen. Lord called us to do this. Okay. And she was right there to help. You know how the Bible says, ladies, you know what you are? You're a helpmeet. You're supposed to help. You should, you know, the Bible says the glory of a man is his wife. And that woman ought to make you, woman, you ought to make your husband shine. You ought to make him look good. You ought to make him look good. And 2 Kings, I said, 2 Kings. First I said 1 Kings, but 2 Kings. And the Bible says, there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet of Elisha saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And it says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaiden have not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, go borrow these vessels abroad unto thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. He said, get a lot of them. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shalom, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as often as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And there's two women right here. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passed by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. And it fell on the day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shulamite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, thou hast been careful for us all this care, what to be done for thee. Would thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is it to be done for thee, for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she have no child. Her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, but my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto me, on thy handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season. And Elisha said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to the father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. Boy, don't you know that was heartbreak. Phew. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband, said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? She said, it shall be well. And she saddled the ass and said to the servant, drive and go forth, and slack not thy riding except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said unto Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when he came to the man of God, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet of Gehazi, caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. But the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord have hid it from me and have not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take the my staff in thine hand and go thy way. And if any man meet, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the child, upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. And wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon the mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he turned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. For he had called her, and when she come in, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And then she went and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And the Bible calls her a great woman. She didn't give up. She went after it, and she was honorable, and God blessed her. And when Paul's writing about Phoebe, here's two women, two examples right here of women that were wise women. And God gave them wisdom, and they did what God wanted them to do. And God's looking for some women. And like I said, if I was a woman, I would want to be God's woman. Now, the Bible talks about some women that are not good women. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs. We had a little boy get up here and preach about it one night. He preached about some bad women. And you don't want to be a bad woman. You want to be a good woman. And thank God for the women in this church, like I said. And these kids, there's some kids. We got some bus kids that come in here. And we was talking about the bus kids the other day. And one of the bus kids said to the teacher and said, they said, well, you want to pray for your parents. I don't know if he said it to Ken or Joe or one of the Sunday school teachers. And he said, yeah, because they don't care about me. He said, the only reason I come to church is they don't want me in their hair. They send me to church. These little bus kids running around, some of them pain in the butt, and some of them, you know, can be getting under your skin. And they can have fits. That one little boy, I watched them drag him out of here that day, had to drag him out, and she carried him out. That broke my heart, man. That broke me up. I started praying for that kid. Yeah, he doesn't have a good mama. And boy, it'd be a blessing to see his mama get saved. Amen. And see God change her. That'd be a real blessing. Amen. These little kids, man, sometimes you say, oh, they're just a pain in the butt. Run after. But they ain't got a good mama. And they need a good mama. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 24, or 23. He says, for the commandment is a lamp, and a law is light. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from evil women, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. That thing there is real, man. Yeah, hunting for the precious life. It says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go onto hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. I've known, you all have heard it, news on the news, and I've known some people. There was a friend of mine that went to Bible school. He was going to work every day. And he come home, found his neighbor in his house, or his wife had a neighbor's house, and she was in there sleeping with the neighbor. I know another man, he just passed away. He was a telephone man. He was up on a telephone pole, and he got on, his name was Hank Scoggins. He went to Brother Bob Joseph's church. And Hank Scoggins got up on the telephone pole. He had four or five kids. And he got up on the telephone pole and he thought, you know, he could tie into the line and he was going to call home. And he tied right into the line and he heard his wife talking. And she was talking to her boyfriend. They were plotting how to kill him. And she said she was going to get rat poison and she was going to poison him little by little. And Hank Scoggins said, man, I'm sitting on the pole. He said, I just wanted to kill myself. I have four kids, five kids. He had one handicapped child. One handicapped. He took care of that child. His wife left him. She ran off that guy. And you know, what happens is you always think the grass is greener on the other side. She ran off another guy. And then they end up breaking up. And then she ran off another by somebody else. And they break up. And the same way the guys, they run off somebody else. And they break up. And they break up. It's just a mess. And just a mess. But the Bible tells you to watch out. Look out. Look out. It says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. And whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. And he that doeth it destroyeth his own what? A wound and dishonor shall he get. There you go. A wound and dishonor. That's Bible. You're not going to change it. A wound and dishonor shall he get. And I know preachers right now that's done that. And every time you think, you know what? When I think about their name, when somebody says their name, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. Really. And when you know somebody ran, you know, the first thing comes to your mind. And the devil, before you got married, the devil tried to push you together to have sex relationship, constant. And my wife and I lived like an animal, like I said before, we were saved. And we got saved and we wanted to do what's right, so we got married. First I said, I'm gonna break up with her. I'm gonna get rid of her. And then she got saved and we said, we're gonna do what's right. We got married. Because why? We were like, and we just wanted to do what's right. We want to honor God. And the devil, young people, what the devil will try to do is kind of constantly try to push you together. And then what happens is, I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Young Christian kids end up messing, and then they both quit church. They say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to see them. They're a bunch of, and it just, it splits the family. because of stupidity. It splits the family by them making bad decisions. And then they end up running from everything all the time. And you say, what happens if you mess up? Ask God to forgive you. And do the right thing from there on out. And if you do the right thing from there on, usually that stuff will fade away. All that stuff. You can get past that. You can always get past it. That's a good thing. And God will make you a good woman, good man. It says, for jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And then chapter 7 goes through about women looking through the, you know, you see prostitutes and people, you know, on the streets, and you see all that stuff. And what breaks my heart, I was down in D.C. I worked in D.C. I grew up in D.C. 14th Street was a big prostitute area. And we'd go down and pass out tracts, witness. And every time I see one of them prostitutes, and they'd come up, offer, you know. And every time I seen one of them prostitutes, I thought, that was somebody's little girl.
Right.
That was somebody, little baby. And you know, a man that's selfish, he don't care. A man that, you know, he don't think about it. Until you have daughters. When you have children, you have girls. And you go, oh God. You know what's scary for a man? Is when he has children and is a little girl. Amen. Knowing his own heart, knowing his own wickedness. We all got wicked hearts. Yeah. Knowing your own wickedness, it scares the far out of you. Amen. And most of them girls that I've seen, I was sitting on the, I was singing to the Lord. I was in the truck. I was down there estimating a job down near D.C., Georgetown. And I'm coming up, and this girl standing at the corner waved at me. And I went, hey, how you doing? And then I realized she was a prostitute. She come to the window. Man, I started crying. I gave her a track. I said, go home, girl. Go home. And they were all Southerners, too. Most of them Southerners came from down south. They knew they were in the Bible Belt. They knew what was right. And they got caught with some guy. And then they felt like a piece of trash. And they thought, who cares? And they just ruined their life. So when you lust after a woman, and what helped me, is what's helped me on a daily, when a man always got, you're always looking. A man's always looking. There's no doubt. If you say, well, I don't do that, then I would question your manhood. A man's always looking. But I tell you what helped me is when I see a young lady, I start praying for him. God, don't let nobody mess her up. God, help that marriage to stay strong. God, keep them, their hearts are tender towards you. Amen. And that's what you pray. Amen. You pray that. Phoebe, man, here's the Church of Rome. He's writing to the Church of Rome. And Phoebe, great woman, she's a servant. Thank God for servants that love God and want to put the Lord first in their life. What a blessing that is. I hope, ladies, I hope you want to be God's woman. We'll get into more of this next week, all right? Amen. I can't talk about crime.